Welcome to UTP, the Urban and Transport Planning Podcast, concepts and experiences from and for emerging economies.
Welcome everyone to our second episode of the UTP podcast. Today we would like to talk a bit more about the concept of smart cities. Not only businesses and factories use ICT to improve their processes and products, but the digital transformation also changes the concepts of urban planning. More and more intelligent and future-oriented solutions are being developed to design efficient, but also sustainable and livable cities. Many city governments and municipalities decide to transform their cities into a smart city. We could say that urban planning goes digital. But what is actually a smart city? Where can we find best practice examples? What are the opportunities and what are the risks of a smart city? For these and more questions, we invited our guest, Dr. Jürgen Peschon. Jürgen, I'm very happy to have you here today for this session. But before we get started and get into the content and to your perspectives on smart cities, would you please introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah, thank you, Nora, for inviting me for these lectures and for this podcast about smart cities. I'm a transport geographer since two decades already, and I founded two NGOs. Actually, Eurist is the follow-up NGO of ITDP Europe, which was founded 18 years ago as a dependency of the US-American-based Institute for Transportation and Development Policy. And here I worked on transport policy issues, on transportation system reform. I have certainly a vast experience in sub-Saharan Africa and developing regions, also in Asia and parts of Eastern Europe. And I'm working as a lecturer at the Technical University of Hamburg-Harburg. And maybe of interest is that since 2 years, I have two main areas to invest in. One is to engage the young generations in the questions of sustainable mobility, sustainable transport. The second project we are actually doing is we are developing a solar-driven e-bike for the African continent, which will be developed and designed in the next months and will go out and will be delivered from May or June 2021 on, which is all related to our topic also here, what is a smart city and how do we have to move in a smart city.
Wow, you're really involved in some very interesting projects. I believe that with your work experience in emerging economies, you can give us some great insights about smart cities also in those parts of the world. So let's get started with the basics. Do you think that smart cities are the future of urban development?
I would say it is clear that all cities need to focus on sustainable urban structures in the different sectors. Because most cities in the world face the same economic, the same social, and the same ecological challenges. We have a high urbanization rate. We are living in a full world now with a lot of people, with almost 8 billion people with little or scarce resources. We are facing climate change everywhere, especially in the cities next to oceans, etc. We have an overused infrastructure in many areas and many sectors, including the mobility and transport sector. We have space issues because of this urbanization, and we have increasing costs for business and people. So I think when it comes to smart cities, we have to ask ourselves from a future perspective. I would say we should look back from the future perspective. What is the city or what is the place we want to live in? And then if we have defined this, we have to ask ourselves, how can we reach that? And if we have defined that, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to change ourselves in the direction of how a city, a smart city, should look like? So for smart city development to become a concept, I think we have to agree on what a smart city is and what it is not, because historically it started all in the years around 2000, and this term was heavily used by various actors in politics, in business, in urban planning, to summarize the technology-based changes and innovations in urban areas. The idea of smart cities goes hand in hand with the utilization of digital technologies. And I think at the same time, it represents a reaction to the economic and the social political challenges which we have in our post-industrial societies. So that was around the millennium. We realized that we are confronted with these problems in the future years. And the focus here is then now on dealing with environmental pollution, demographic change, not only technology. I think smart cities initially focused on the technological side of cities, but now cities are running into other problems like financial crisis, scarcity of resources. So the point for me is when we talk about smart cities and concepts, in a broader sense, the term can or should include non-technological, non-technical innovations that contribute to a better and more sustainable life in a city from the people's perspective, what I said at the beginning. So from a perspective, where do we want to be in 30 years from now or in 20 years from now? So this might include concepts of the sharing economy, a new public participation level in projects, etc., etc. So that's what I think is very important.
You were mentioning that not only technological innovations are characterizing a smart city. So what do you think are actually the essential characteristics a city has to fulfill to become a smart city? And do you think that there's a universal definition of a smart city?
I would say no, there's no universal definition of a smart city. There's no clear definition, but if we take into account what I said before, the broader context, or not focusing only on the technical innovations, the smart city can be a collective term for a holistic development of a city to make the city more efficient on the one hand, also technologically more advanced, but also greener and more socially inclusive. So these concepts include then technical, economic, and social innovations. And essential is that we find in latest discussions around this term of smart cities, we have targets in this. And this can be a common sense for all smart city concepts, which is, of course, sustainability. Then I think we have the enhancement of the efficiency of a city, of an urban agglomeration. Maybe we have not only to talk about cities, maybe we can even extend the term to communities, because not all communities are cities, but cities are always communities. Then I think we have the society, which should be a target, so a social society actually, which should be one of the target, and a healthy society. And that's thing I think is a set of targets, including maybe technological further development, which lead then to activities in such a concept. And one area of activity or is definitely maybe the most important is the government. We can call it smart government. We have to see what kinds of levels governments have to fulfill or what kind of tasks they have to fulfill. Then we have something, I will come back on this in a minute. Then we have, I think, the educational sector, which is very important. Then the environment and energy sector, the health sector. And finally, which is our main topic here, is the mobility sector. When we look at the government and we look on the indicators which we need to prove whether a city is smart or not, or has achieved something in this sense, what we want to achieve in terms of the targets I mentioned, we have to define indicators, and these indicators have to be operationalized. So to measure whether the government is doing the job right. So smart government, for instance, means that we need a level of transparency and participation. So we can try to find out how many to make it very practical, how many participative activities a city performs to let the people participate with their ideas, to make it transparent. We have to look how a city government is enforcing digital infrastructure in the infrastructure sector, and also in which way the city partners with its citizens. That directly leads to the issue of education, because we need in a city which wants to be smart, the digital media and the integration of e-learning for everyone. We need to find out also as an indicator, what is the level of the digital skills of the citizens of a city? So we need education infrastructure to put in place in schools and universities, in administration and so on. So to make it possible that the technological issues we have achieved will be performed by all parts, all actors in a city. Then we should talk about energy and environment. And of course, we have to measure the reduction, for instance, of energy used for the different purposes in the city. That can be also measured. We can also look how many or how fast is the progress in offering alternative energy sources to the citizens and to the business, of course, also to the business sector and also to the mobility sector. And finally, which is already the topic we want to talk about a little bit more, is how far a city performs smart in the mobility and transport sector. So how far is it integrated with the regional planning? How far is it multimodal? To which extent we have introduced electromobility, and which kind of electromobility, based on individual mobility or on public transport or on non-motorized transport? Also cycling and walking is a very important issue. Just as a side remark, maybe 2 weeks ago, the United Nations launched the new cycling and walking network for the African continent, which I think is a sign that we have to look on this in a regional perspective, because the non-motorized sector plays a role in some countries, a bigger role in some countries, and in other countries and regions, a less important role. But it can be part of a smart city. And finally, I think we have to look on the traffic management. Traffic management is very much related to digitalization and to technological interventions, but it is one part to develop a local appropriate concept. And I think what is necessary, this is my recommendation, I would say, to look on these indicators. We need an audit at the beginning, because we have to see where we are now and where we want to go. And data is food for planners, and a smart city has to be planned, as I said, in the midterm and the long-term perspective. And we have to reflect the above mentioned indicators. And then we have to do that in a most democratic and participative manner as possible.
So we've talked a lot about the basic concept of smart cities, but maybe you could emphasize, why do we actually need smart cities and what are the benefits of smart cities?
As I mentioned at the beginning, we are now living on a planet with almost 8 billion people. And in a couple of decades, we will reach 12 billion. Of these 12 billion people, most people will live in urbanized areas. So what we need is manifold. We need for these people assured and adequate water supply. We need a solid waste management. We need an efficient urban mobility structure, including public transport, non-motorized transport, etc. Of course, we need also IT connectivity and digitalization, very important. And in case we can get a more common understanding of the term, I think we can benefit from both best practice and worst practice. So the benefits are different. I think for cities who are far, they can be the multiplicator. They can teach others. They can transfer knowledge. And I also think that learning from each other can make implementation faster. We need to change cities as soon as possible, because we are facing the problems of climate change, for instance, which calls for a quick response. So we need to act as soon as possible. So if we have a basic concept, which is a common concept and is accepted by many actors, by many decision makers in cities, I think the benefit is that we are faster, we are more efficient, we avoid mistakes, and we are reaching our aims of sustainability in our communities in a much more, also much more participative way, of course. That's also one benefit, because if we really do it in a holistic approach, then I think we have a number of benefits.
So if you want to achieve sustainability within a city, do you think that every city has to transform to a smart city, or do you think that there are any alternative ways?
I think I ended with saying that we should have a holistic approach to cities to develop themselves in a way to become more sustainable. And personally, I like the idea of a holistic approach. And if we follow that approach, I think we can say, yes, every city can become or should become a smart city. However, the term can be also different. The content should be the same. Each city, no matter how big, should be interested. Or I would say it should be committed. It should commit itself to making the place a better place in future. And clean and sustainable environment can be achieved by applying all sorts of smart solutions. And in all cities in the future world, we need a new system of production and consumption. I think we realize that with the current parameters of growth and the belief in permanent economic growth, we will spend too many resources. So we need a circular economy, and this will help citizens and also companies and the business sector, so that all cities should really look for the best way to transform the city. And so there is need for each city. Alternatives. Alternatively, you can name it sustainable cities, which might be less technological focused. Maybe because it is difficult for some countries in the world to follow the intensive digitalization path some cities are going. So that's what I think about if a city should transform into a smart city. Yes, when we have defined what a smart city is, then we can say yes. Otherwise, there are definitely also alternatives, especially in the way how you name it, but the content should be the same. And it should be locally appropriate.
Our listeners come from all parts of the world. We all know that cities differ from each other in terms of population and climate, but also in culture and economy and in many, many other aspects. So do you think that the smart city concept can be implemented universally, or how can it be adjusted to the local conditions of a city?
I think the idea behind the term smart cities varies from city to city, as we had it already, depending on the necessities and the level of development. So this varies geographically on the one hand, and culturally. And also there are several interpretations as we have seen from the past, from the evolvement of this term. But there are also concepts focused mainly on technological, some on more digital infrastructure, but others are more holistic and include social issues, which in my opinion is most important to make the approach universal. And hence then we can break it down to the local conditions if we have a holistic approach and we can really see what is happening.
You already mentioned the importance of the knowledge and implementation transfer. So where can we actually find the most advanced smart cities and what can we learn from them?
Yeah, I think it is interesting when you analyze which cities call themselves smart cities. They are, the most cities are part of a ranking. And if you look which cities are top in the ranking, these are cities in Europe, some in Asia, some few in North America. So in 2019, Singapore is number one, followed by Zurich and also Oslo in Norway. Copenhagen is another city which really have achieved a lot. The indexes we have very often assesses the perceptions of residents. So maybe some residents say this the structures we have, the infrastructures we have, are very good, but that is a very personal opinion. So I doubt that we can say that there's no other city than Singapore which is really livable, where people are very happy in. I think some of these indexes, they have asked a couple of hundred people and tried to find out what are the structures, how do they perceive the technological applications available in a city. Whether there is always a wireless LAN, whether there is a good public transport systems. And this index, they focus on health, they focus on safety issues, they focus on different mobility issues, also on governmental issues, how the government is performing the city planning. And this leads to the results we have that when we look on the technological part, many cities in the south will not reach the top scoring. One of the most livable cities, for instance, in the world in these aspects is Vienna. Vienna has a world-class infrastructure. It has also a high level in education and healthcare. It has also a very, I would say, quality or manifold cultural offers. And the learning point here is everything is very regional as well as sector related. When it comes to mobility, for instance, an African city may not learn from a city like Singapore or Zurich. Maybe an African city can learn from Copenhagen, as Copenhagen's focus was less technological, but more on mobility solutions, which are easy, which are low cost, and so on. And I think a second point is that it is a permanent process. You cannot say one city is a smart city, the other one is not a smart city. I think we have to look on the different steps and a time frame for that. Vienna implemented infrastructure and measures in a short-term perspective. So the public remained interested from the beginning because the whole thing can be very complex in smart cities. There's too many sectors are tackled. So they started with concrete implementations. Like in the mobility sector, they started with e-car sharing systems. Then for pedestrians, they implemented at the traffic junctions, crossing on demand. and other very interesting projects where people were attracted by, for instance, by creativity issues in public spaces and parks and so on. They implemented short-term measures, and then they had a long-term plan. And I think the this is the best combination you can have to keep the people in the system.
So when we look especially to China, we can notice that there's a real boom of the development of smart cities. And not only do many Chinese cities transform their cities into smart cities, but also the speed of the development is tremendous. So what do you think is the secret of the Chinese success, and how does it differ from other parts of the world?
The question is China a success case or not? It's a special case, I would say. But to look and to justify the measures they have taken, I think we are quickly coming to a very critical point. China, as we know, is planning in a centralized manner. When I was starting in my lectures at the Tsinghua University in Beijing, 2006, they had a public transport network, a subway network, which was already quite impressive. But I came back for 10 years each year in summer. And each year I could see that they have opened a new line. I was really wondering, because I was coming from Hamburg, and I know that we have also discussions about implementing a new subway. These discussions are now over, and the opening of the new subway will be in 2025 or something like that. China is planning its cities in a centralized manner. And China has also a lot of migration into these cities. I think the Chinese approach is also very much driven by digitalization and other technological innovations. This is something where they are really good in and fast. And maybe that is also one of the key success factors we are asking for, that they really focus on digitalization and technological innovations. I think the people of China are also more open. They have a young generation, a big part of the society are young people, which are always interested in modernity. So they want modern cities. Modernity is very important for Chinese citizens, I think. So there is a reflection, a positive reflection on the side of the citizens. But on the other hand, the whole process is not really a participative process. It is also not a democratic process. And if you have an entire holistic look on that, I think one of the aims of the Chinese government in these cities is also safety and security. And for this, they justify control mechanisms, which I think are not transferable to European cities or other cities in the world. And finally, maybe it's also special because the funding and financing structures in China are probably different from ours. So if a Chinese city has a goal, a target, they are making a time plan, no matter what the costs are. This may be a bit a tough formulation of myself, but I think it is so special that most strategies, or the strategy of the Chinese government to implement these kind of cities in a smart way, are not really transferable. However, there are some good points, and there are some points which are definitely not so convincing, in my opinion.
This already brings us to the last part of our podcast. What are typical barriers cities could face on their way to become a smart city?
Also, barriers are manifold. The whole thing is quite complex. And the first thing starts with the point where I ended. If there's no money, I think there's no innovation. And this is already complex in the development countries. I think many of the people who are moving to cities are moving to cities which are partly transformation countries or developing countries. European countries are already urbanized to a certain extent. But when we know that so many people are shifting to cities, we need financial structures which allow to invest in solid infrastructure and the whole thing to make it really smart is quite complex and complicated. So the knowledge is needed, how to do that. Skills are needed and a good planning is needed. So for looking on megacities, for instance, in developing countries, it is much more complicated because the periods of implementations are also very long. And so you need, as I said, you need a midterm, a short-term planning, but also a long-term planning. And these cities don't know where they are in a couple of years in terms of migration and in terms of demographic development, because the people who are shifting to these mega cities in the world, in the southern part, are very often low-income households. And if you make a layout for a smart city, which is related to a high level of technology and digitalization, this is not reflected by the household income. Then I think another barrier is the personal privacy. I think many people are critical about having no privacy anymore. And smart cities very often give the impression that everything is controlled. There are a lot of cameras, and there is a lot of data, and data security and data privacy are not really issues where citizens are so happy with. So that can also be a barrier, the public acceptance. Another barrier might be the high dependency on technologies. Because we have to update, I think, technology. If you buy a laptop and you use it for 4 years, or you see it also with other technological items, you need updates every now and then. And I have been on a conference where a professor for digitalization explained very clearly that the speed of data procession will still increase at a very high rate. So probably if you implement something in a smart city nowadays, these days, in 10 years, the technology is obsolete. Another risk, I think, is that if we have such a city which is very much depending on technology, it is also vulnerable to damage. Cybersecurity is an issue. It can be hacked by criminals and so on. So safety, security, the permanent need to update the systems are, in my eyes, issues which makes it complicated. And in case a project or things become complicated, you are also missing the interest of the public. But if, and here we are at the beginning of our podcast, if we believe that a smart city should be a city where we have a high level of participation and a high level of interest of the people, because we are planning the city for the people and not for the digitalization, or we are planning it not for the technology, we need the interests of the public, the permanent interests of the public. And that's, I think, makes it really complex. Everything is a process, on the other hand. And I think it is worth to start, but to reflect from time to time where we are and how big the barriers are and which barriers we can overcome and which barriers we have to accept, which are too high at the moment. So we have to see how to come out of these out of these bottlenecks.
You already answered my next question partly, but maybe you could highlight some negative aspects of the smart city concept.
Yeah, negative aspects. Maybe too many smart cities are driven by technology ideas and not driven by people. too much driven by the business and too less driven by social issues. I think the risk is also that when it is driven by technology and business, it probably won't become a very participative approach and a very democratic approach. When you analyze what is written about smart cities, you read very often that it is only a label to compete with others. Maybe that is also the case for China, where Chinese cities compete with each other, which is the best smart cities of all. And we are better than the other one because we have this and this. I think these are the main issues. Maybe also can be negative if the approach to become a smart city is the justification and the method to control its citizens. We know that security issues, we see it with the terror attacks now in Paris again, and the reaction of the public and the reaction of the politics on these events is that we need more security, we need more control. And so making or implementing cameras and making it possible for police or for other services in the city to look into the private communication of people, it should not become a method to control citizens. But that's definitely a negative aspect.
Thank you so much for your time today and for the brief introduction to the smart city concept. I believe that our listeners were very interested in getting to know your perspectives on the smart city approach. But before you get back to your daily duties, I have one last question to you. Which parts of living in a smart city would you enjoy most?
For me as a transport person, I'm very much looking on how the mobility structures in a city look like. And when I travel to cities like Vienna or Copenhagen, I think the ease of being mobile is very attractive for me. The ease of going around without a car, enjoying the clean air in such cities, enjoying the open spaces and enjoying all that without noise and still being safe everywhere and secure. I think this is what I really enjoy most when I travel to one of these nice sustainable cities. And my favorite city is indeed Copenhagen.
This was the second episode of the UTP podcast. Thank you for listening and get ready for the next one.